September 27th, 2022, meeting of the Township Board of Supervisors to order. This board just met in executive session at 6 p.m. to discuss land and legal matters, and we finished at 7:03. So if everyone could please stand, we'll start with the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Christman, if you could please call the roll.
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Parada?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Dunn?
Here.
There are four present, Madam Chair, and Supervisor Bruza notified the office earlier today that he would not be present this evening.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Christman. We have a quorum, so we can start our meeting. And the first order of business is like it always is. It is our opportunity for members of the community to offer public comment. Just a reminder to everyone in the room that our meetings are recorded for the purpose of keeping accurate minutes. And those in the community that wish to offer public comment, if they could please come up to the podium, state their name, their address, and try to keep their comments to within 3 minutes. So is there anyone here that would like to offer public comment?
Hi, my name is Richard Gable, 39 Hockford from the University of Pennsylvania. I'm coming tonight to speak up. At my last, our last meeting, I mentioned about the Memorial Garden. And since that time, I've had several people walk up to me in the giant food store, at the gas station, call me on my phone, and of course, I've had numerous conversations with Rich Zuma regarding this. And what I'm totally in favor of having Memorial Garden to recognize people of our community who dedicated and gave golf for our community. Now, discussing this with Rick, he tells me that it's just a concept. But when I look at the webpage, and I mentioned this to him many times, it's still on a webpage, and in the center of this complex is a memorial to Michael Horrocks. Now, he doesn't live in this community. His parents don't live in this community. He has several monuments to him, one at the high school where he went to high school, one at Westchester where he attended, one at the airport where he flew out of that day, one at the 9/11 memorial in New York. And when I talked to Rick, he said, well, it's just a concept. I said, well, can you get him to change the concept? Because a lot of people don't see that little word down here. It says concept. They're looking at that and thinking, oh, it's going to be Michael right in the center of this thing. I don't think that's fair to the people of this community. Also to our police officer, Mr. Officer Henry. Maybe we should put him in the middle. He served his community and did it with honor. I just think that if they're going to use Michael, as Rick told me, use his name as the fundraiser, and thinking that we're going to get tourists to come in here, I don't think this is a tourist attraction. I think this is a community-based recognition for people of our community who served and gave the ultimate and are continuing to serve. When you look at the posting on the website, you see the big thing, Michael Horrocks, and then I'm going to submit this so you can see what I'm talking about. This is what you see. And you see whose picture's in the center, whose name is there. And if you look over here, on the upper left-hand corner, very small print, it says, Michael Horwicks, 9/11, fire, police, and first responders. That doesn't stand out that well. I think a lot of people are donating money because I think it's a good cause. I want to donate to it. But the idea that we're singling out one person in the middle of this development. Also, when I questioned about the cost, he said they're trying to raise $3 or $4 million. Well, I already know that the school has a scholarship fund in his name, Derry Township School. I think they're honoring him because that's where he went to school. His parents no longer live in this community. What did he contribute to the community during the war? He did. Unfortunately, he got killed. I'm sorry that he did. I wish he was still alive to stand next to me. As a Marine veteran, we stick together. But I really am kind of, I want to clarify. I'm in favor of the Memorial Garden. But I don't think we should put all the emphasis on one person. The people in Swidare Station, 90 of their sons went to war. 15 of them never came back. They had their own memorial at the, what we call the gateway to Swidare Station, before it was ever Hershey. That memorial will stand there because they don't want to move it, because that recognizes the people of that community. I want us to do the same thing for the community of Hershey now. And signaling out one person, maybe we should take Officer Henry, maybe we should take Frankie Wise, or one of those other people that gave the ultimate. And I again, like I say, I'm in favor of it, but the concept, I think they should change it, take that off, because if people look at that, and most of the money that they're getting paid are thinking, well, he's going to be right in the center. That's a patriotic thing to do, 9/11. What about the Vietnam veteran? Why don't we put the Vietnam veteran memorial in the center? 50,000 people were killed in that war, and we came home without any recognition. I am part of that Vietnam group. I don't want my name on the plaque. I survived. I lived. I want the names of those people that gave the ultimate. And again, like I say, using this as a way to get money for this project, I think is inappropriate. You're basically forgetting all the other people that stood up and gave their lives. He was only one person. And to have him as the focus of this whole plan, I think is inappropriate and not appreciated by the people of this community. Like I say, I've been contacted because I did speak up about this at the last meeting. So maybe if they could take that concept off the webpage and be honest about it and say, we're not sure yet where it's going to be, I don't know if that's going to affect the donations, or we're using his name as a fundraiser. I don't think that's appropriate. So, just want to clarify my position on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. And I think that we talked a little bit about this the last time, that you're still looking at putting together criteria for who gets into this community, the garden, and that everything is very fluid still at this point.
That's a good way to put it, very fluid.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Campbell, for your comment. Is there anyone else that would like to offer public comment this evening? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to our first order of business, which is our consent calendar for the evening. Now, on this evening's consent calendar is the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes from the September 13th regular meeting and the approval of the September 27th, 2022 accounts payable in the amount of $494,430.95. And payroll of $362,485.55. So we can take both of these items under one motion, or we can separate them out. Is there a motion from the board?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar, both items A and B.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Corrado. Is there any comment or discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Okay, hearing none, both items on the consent calendar are approved for this evening. That moves us to new business. So the first item of new business is the introduction of a new code enforcement officer for the community development. So, Mr. Emmerich, if you wouldn't mind just giving us the background on this item.
Sure. It's with great pleasure that I introduce to you our newest staff member in community development, Peter Snyderman. Peter started with us on August 15th as one of our code enforcement officers, replacing Darren Robinson, whose wife got a job in Tennessee, and for some reason he went with her. I'm not sure. Anyway, Peter grew up in Elkston, Illinois, and has resided in Hershey since 2014. Prior to his employment here, Peter operated a successful home inspection agency for 14 years, which was based in Hershey since 2014. Peter was awarded the title of Certified Master Home Inspector in 2012 and holds over 20 certifications for professional home inspection. He's also affiliated with the National Association of Home Inspectors, the American Association of Home Inspectors, the International Association of Indoor Air Quality Consultants, Certified Commercial Property Inspectors Association, and is also on the board for the Examination Board of Professional Home Inspectors. He's also a member of our volunteer fire company and was awarded the Hershey Volunteer Firefighter of the Year Award in 2020. Since his employment, Peter has passed all those certificates and award, or all the certificates that he has, don't apply to our statewide building code. But since he's been with us, he's already passed the building code official certification and is presently training for the commercial building inspector and plans examiner, as well as the accessibility inspector and plans examiner. As I said, he lives in Hershey with his wife Jennifer. He has three boys. One is in George Washington University, and the two other are going to Derry Township School District. And Peter, could you stand up? And there he is.
Come up and say a few words.
And I told him he could leave after his introduction.
Oh, well, Mr. Finnerman, it is wonderful to meet you, and congratulations. And we look forward to seeing you around the township. Obviously, there's a lot going on in the community development shop, so you'll have a busy plate. So welcome. And there's nothing that we need to do with this, Mr. Emmer, correct? It's just we're welcoming Mr. Steinman to his new role.
Yeah. Chairman Abruzzo asked that we introduce him.
Okay. Well, wonderful.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for your service to the fire department, too.
Yep.
Okay, the next order of business is the presentation of, requesting the authorization to prepare and solicit a request for proposals to secure financing for the purchase of new fire apparatus. Mr. Christman, if you could please provide background.
Certainly. Thank you, Madam Chair. As the board will recall, at your August 23rd meeting, the township did agree to move forward with ordering and purchasing the new fire apparatus, specifically an engine to replace engine 481. Due to the timing of price increases in the manufacturing of this new engine, it's become more important for us to move up our timetable with respect to the financing plan that I described at that meeting. Under our original thought process, we were going to look to come to you in early April of next year to begin putting the financing in place to purchase this engine. But as everything else in the economy right now is suffering from increases in manufacturing costs, the fire service is no different. We've been notified of probably about three different separate increases that may be coming through Pierce, through the engine manufacturer itself, Cummins, who makes the motors for the engine. And it behooves us to take advantage of the timing now to keep the discounts in place so that we can purchase this piece of apparatus at the best cost possible to the township. So if you recall, that amount is about $908,000 to purchase this new truck. That includes all of the discounts that we talked about at the meeting on the 23rd. Tonight with us, we have Lou Verdelli, Tim Horstman, are here on behalf of the finance team. Lou from Raymond James, Tim Horstman from East Wallace, to maybe address any concerns you may have with respect to the RFP process itself. But essentially, the board, if you're in favor of it this evening, would authorize the RFP to be drafted and gone out to solicit to different finance institutions for us to take a look at the best way for us to draw down a line of credit or a fixed rate loan, whatever would be the best vehicle for the township based on the current interest rate market. I think we have an opportunity here to kind of secure financing, get this piece of equipment ordered, and also put in place potentially money to help us pay for other public works equipment and or police equipment that we may need to acquire in the 2023 budget. So the timeline, if I'm correct with this, if the board would authorize that tonight, the RFP would go out tomorrow. We would look to bring back to you the proposals on the 11th, your meeting on October 11th. If the board would consider authorizing that at that point and approve a proposal, we would have settlement pending PADCE approvals probably sometime in November. So at this point, I'm happy to turn it over to Lou and Tim if you guys have anything you'd like to add for the board. If I've missed anything.
No, that was a perfect explanation and summary. The only thing I would add is we really did work with the administration to kind of come up with a maximum flexibility for this financing, both kind of on the front end so that there's flexibility to draw money down over an 18-month window, whether it's a second piece of fire apparatus or whether it's the public works equipment. So we'll have a kind of a window on the front end, and then we wanted to make sure there's maximum flexibility on the back end to pay this down, the loan down, as quickly as possible. As we understand, there'll probably be requests each year for gaming money to help repay the cost of this of some of the equipment. So we want to be able to pay whatever amount is drawn down, pay that back as quickly as possible to limit any interest expense to the township. So it is pretty flexible. We certainly are also in the design of the RFP, because of the interest rate environment being so volatile, we're going to be asking for, where normally we'd probably ask for a fixed rate for all 15 years, we're going to ask for a 5-year fixed rate, 7-year fixed rate. So we've seen some of those come in at lower levels, and that kind of coupled with the fact that hopefully we can pay this loan off quickly, that, you know, we can again further limit the interest cost. So that is the plan. Mr. Crispin described the timing correctly, that November 7th or November 11th is when we would potentially have funds available. And while that may not be in time to make the initial payment when the order is required to be written, we have asked Tim to put in the documents a reimbursement resolution so that if the township is required to make any payments before we settle, there'll be language authorizing when the closing occurs to reimburse the township for any payments that have been made. So that's it kind of from the financing standpoint. Tim Horstman and Ryan Gonder are here if you have any questions about the ordinance that will be in front of you in 2 weeks.
And Mr. Crispin, tonight we're just authorizing this group to go out and find us our best offers. That's and then on the 11th, we'll be able to discuss them at length and see what works best for the taxpayer.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
They'll go out and they'll do the, all the requisite advertising for any of the ordinances that will need, that will be required on the 11th, as well as going out to solicit, you know, the RFP itself. So we'll take care of that tonight, you know, pending this motion to court if you approve it.
So we would only be back on the 11th if we have proposals that we deem suitable and attractive.
Is that enough time? I know we're on a really tight time frame. Is that
Yeah. We'll send it out first thing tomorrow, and I think we have it coming back next Thursday. So that's enough time for the banks.
Any board questions?
No. So you're asking for the RFP to go out, but you're also going to be advertising the board before the end of the week, right? You're looking for the board to authorize not only the RFP to go out, but also to have the ordinance advertised, right? That's how I read the email, so I just want to...
Good evening, everyone. The ordinance is going to, would appear, the first thing we'll notice would appear next Tuesday, because we need to get that out there before the consideration on the 11th.
Yeah, just so the board's aware, it's not just the RFP, but you're also authorizing them to proceed with advertising the ordinance.
So does our motion, like, we need to change that?
Yeah, maybe if you want to add into the motion that you're authorizing them to proceed with the legal notice for the ordinance as well.
Okay. Any additional questions? Okay. So this is, we can take a motion for the Board of Supervisors to, and I'll make the motion, for the Board of Supervisors to authorize the administration in consultation with the Township Financial Advisor, Raymond James, and Bond Counsel McNeese, Wallace and Nurek, LLC, to prepare and solicit an RFP for the purpose of securing financing for the purchase of fire apparatus and township equipment, as well as advertising the ordinance for this financing. Okay. All right, is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Zubina. Is there any additional comment or concerns? Okay. Hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, the next order of business is the presentation of the 2023 Minimum Municipal Obligation, or MMO, for the Non-Uniform and Police Pension Plans. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the board's aware, each year you are required to recommend minimum municipal obligation for our pension plans. Act 205 requires that each public pension plan inform the governing body of the municipality of the plan's expected financial obligation for the following year. So in our case, our non-uniform pension plan and the police pension plan represent about $1,090,617 of MMO obligation for next year. So it's $583,984 for the police pension plan and it's $583,984 for the non-uniform pension plan and $506,633 for the police pension plan, respectively. So that number, you might start to notice, year over year, will start to get a little bit less. As we went through our last contract with the police union, they are now paying 4% towards their pension obligation each year. So that will have a direct impact on the MMO that the township has to have that outlay each year. So I don't believe there's action required by the board. This is just a notification of what will appear in your 2023 budget as part of that our obligation to keep our pension fund solvent.
Is there any board questions or comments or questions? Okay. And hearing none, it looks like that we don't have to do anything, so it just becomes part of the public record. All right, the next order of business is a consideration of entering into an agreement with Tyler Technologies to provide credit card processing services for the Township of Derry. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board has, at the beginning of the year, really started talking about can we provide other types of opportunities for residents to make payment to the township for certain services that are provided. We went back and talked with our current finance and software provider, which is Tyler Technologies, and they are able to provide a credit card system to allow residents to pay with a credit card for certain things. And the example that I tend to use is garbage bags. So in our pay-to-throw system for waste management, a resident who participates could come to the library, could come to the administration building, could come to Public Works. We will have a credit card machine available should they decide to use a card to pay for those bags if they don't have cash or a check on hand. But to note that the processing fee would be added on to their bill is 3.75% for a minimum charge of $2.50. The cost of the township at this point is a one-time fee of $2,514 right now up front for the six machines that would be added to each one of our facilities. And then each year thereafter, there would be an annual fee to operate the system at $1,080. That would help incorporate this system into our existing finance software so that as credit card charges are being made, they would be recorded right through our accounts receivable and posted right away rather than have to have a separate manual process to enter that information into our system. I'm recommending that the board approve entering into this agreement. I would recommend tonight, if you're so inclined to do so, that the township solicitor have the opportunity to review it in its entirety to make sure that there aren't any issues or comments that he may have with respect to the proposed agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Christman. I have a question about should this be approved? When will this go into effect for 2023? Like when folks are coming into the township and perhaps wanting to purchase those bags, would that take place next year or faster than that?
No, it would be a much quicker timeline. Our hope is that once the agreement's approved, you know, we could have this up and running yet in this current fiscal year. As far as like an exact date, I can't give you that much, but you know, once the machines are on site and then it's configured to our software system, you know, they'll have their techs come in and make sure that the modules are speaking correctly to the machines. And then, they'll be available for use pretty much right away.
And when folks come in and want to run their purchase through a credit card machine, will they know that there's the additional fee?
We will be updating the township's fee schedule as well to incorporate all of these changes per the card.
Okay.
And of course, we'll have signs at the machines that will alert you that if you are using a credit card for a purchase of a good or a service, you know, there's a $2.50 minimum charge and then a 3.75% fee that will be assessed as for using the card. It's not something the township keeps, that goes back to the provider. And, it's the cost of doing business for the credit cards. A lot of private businesses will eat that cost, but as a public entity, you know, that has to get passed on to the end user because it's a convenience fee.
So, like, even Mr. Amherst's department could do this if he wanted to. offering the option for...
I'm hoping so.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And, but there still will be the ability for residents to pay with cash or check if
correct.
They want to and avoid the fees.
So I tell my kids cash is still king.
Okay. Is there any additional questions? Any other questions? No questions? Okay. Well, we are ready for a motion. If someone would like to offer a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve entering into an agreement with Tyler Technologies to provide credit card processing services for the Township of Gary, contingent upon the agreement meeting the satisfaction of the Township solicitors.
Okay, motion offered by Supervisor Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, seconded by Supervisor Zabuda. Is there any additional comment or discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. The next item on the agenda is requesting the authorization to approve a proposal of scope of work for HRG to conduct underpass inspections for the Township of Derry. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you all recall, at our last board meeting, I discussed in the manager's report that Derry Township is obligated to provide inspection services for the underpasses that are located at State Route 743 and US 422. That is a requirement of the agreement with PennDOT. We are approaching the end of the four-year inspection period for those underpasses at this point. HRG has provided the attached proposal in your packet this evening. The total cost for inspection services is $6,000. That's for both underpasses. And HRG would then be responsible for updating the inspection records for PennDOT directly. So they will take care of filing all of those on our behalf. And tonight, if there aren't any questions and you're comfortable with that, I would ask that you make a motion authorizing me to execute that proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Kristen. Are there any comments or concerns?
I have a quick question. Is there any expectation that the Hershey Company or Virgo is going to contribute to this for this particular duration prior to the long-term agreement being codified?
Not that I'm aware of at this point. And that's something we can certainly have a conversation with them about if they're interested in participating. But as you're pointing out, once we get through this MOU process with them and the entities with respect to a whole lot of things that are kind of in and around that same area, you know, this inspection process will always have to be probably handled by the township, but probably could be paid for by them through that MOU process. So we can reimburse for the cost.
How would we go about making an ask?
I can reach out to the contact and we'll see where we go. The worst they can say is no.
I was going to say that's all we can ask. Thank you.
Sure.
Anyone else have any comments or questions? Okay. I will make a motion that the Board of Supervisors approves the scope of work for pedestrian underpass inspection services as outlined in the proposal dated September 20th, 2022 from HRG, and authorize the township manager to execute the same. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor. Is there any additional comment or discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. So that wraps up our business portion of the agenda, which takes us to Supervisor Board and Committee Reports. So we will start from the left. And Supervisor Zabuda, if you'd like to offer any comments this evening.
Since you're doing the chair job today, I'll take care of the transportation. Both Natalie and I had a transportation group meeting this morning. A reminder, the Anti-Copperfield Show is going to be in town next week for everybody. We approved crossing lights at Coco, well, not approved, but there will be crossing lights at Coco and Brook that were previously approved. They'll be coming in the next 3 to 4 months. The East Mansion and East Chocolate Avenue study is in with numerous possible traffic mitigation efforts out there. A synopsis will be coming out to the local residents in that area. We also discussed the left turn signal at Governor and Coco. There are certain issues we need to work through before we actually sit down and say go forward with that, one of them, at least of which is money. And that's about it. The stuff was regular business we had. Additionally, we had the last market on chocolate. Thanks for all everybody's support over the summer. Choctoberfest, as a reminder, is October 15th. And that's it.
Supervisor Zimuda. Supervisor Carano.
Carter and I had a DTMA meeting last night. The new customer billing system went into effect on September 13th. It was one of the highlights. The authority will have an upcoming loan settlement in October for new money borrowed through the Dauphin County Infrastructure Bank loan program, which is good news at the interest rate. The authority received $3.5 million in federal grant from the USEDA to aid in the construction of the Southwest Wastewater Plant Upgrade Project. And that's pretty much it. Carter, if you have anything to add. That's it. And parts of that was the young
meeting. Thank you, Supervisor Carter. Supervisor Wyckoff.
I have nothing tonight. Thank you.
I think the only comment that I will add is from our meeting this morning, one of the things that we talked about, and I know personally I'm a frequent user of the trails. The trail down by Bullfrog Valley Park is going to be closed for a small amount of time. The markers are all up for a DTMA project, so I know it went in the e-news last week. But just a reminder, I know I got a couple of comments about that just today. I guess those line markers must have just gone up in the last day or two. So I talked to Sarah at DTMA, and she said that she was going to work with Parks and Rec to make some person signs are up there. Mm-hmm. So, and also, the only other meeting I had was the library, and we had a great meeting talking about many things that are going on at the library, and I'm sure that Ms. Troutman will talk a little bit more about the fun things that are happening there. That's it for supervisor reports, so we'll move on to our departmental reports, and we'll start with Chief Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A few things this evening. We finished up, I worked with Mr. Emmerich and Pat Armstrong in reference to an ordinance to prohibit some commercial vehicle parking in the Briardale area. We had been getting complaints, sight distance issues, quality of life issues, and then most recently we had some exhaust from the commercial vehicle that was running that got into a nearby residence and set off carbon monoxide alarms. So we have been working on that. We finished up the legal definitions and so forth to get that ordinance finished up. It'll be before the board to vote on to advertise at the next meeting. And then we'll also work on the verbiage for the signage that we put in place in that area. So hopefully that will allow us to curb some of that commercial vehicle parking in the area. October 5th, National Coffee with a Cop Day. There's actually a national organization for Coffee with a Cop, and they put out some information this year that they are endorsing going back to in-person meetings with our constituents and our communities. So October 5th, we will be at the Starbucks at West Chocolate in Linden. There's going to be two time periods, one in the morning, like maybe late morning, and one in the afternoon, where we'll have officers over there. Meeting and greeting the public, answering questions, and just some general conversation, community policing. And then the Thin Blue Line football game is October 7th. McDevitt is hosting Hershey this year. And that is a game that has been sponsored by the Dauphin County Sheriff's Department. And it is to honor law enforcement and firefighters. They also raise money to donate to families of fallen officers in Pennsylvania. So that game will be up at McDevitt this year. We'll be helping out getting the Hershey football team up there with an escort. There will be all sorts of law enforcement officers, units, vehicles up there to interact with the public and just have them be aware of their law enforcement personnel that are in the area here and to be able to appreciate that.
Those are really great events. I'm guessing you'll put those out on your social media channels, and hopefully we will. Definitely will, too.
Right.
And my only request is, are you able to bring the canines to the Coffee with the Cops?
I think we plan on having Canine Tour there, who's our electronics detection dog. So he's a little bit, he's definitely a little bit calmer than a lot of the other patrol dogs. And he'll actually be a real benefit to the adults and children. We'll be the two main children drinking coffee, but hot chocolate, those type of things. But they can interact with Tour.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That's
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Mr. Sassman from the Fire Department.
I just want to thank you all for your support this evening, and I really don't have anything else to mention tonight.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Clark.
I don't have much of anything other than we're prepping for leaves.
Okay. When does that start?
The first week of October.
Okay. And that will be out on the social channels, too, and in the newsletter, just letting everybody, just a reminder of when their day is.
Been out there for a while.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Ms. Troutman.
So October 1st, this Saturday, we will be hosting the second annual Chocolate Town Book Festival in Chocolate Town Park. We have some headline authors, including Kate Baer, John Verscher, Misty Simon, and Sarah Walters, who will be selling and signing books, along with many, many local authors. So we have about 50 attending. We're very much looking forward to it. In the event that we do get rained out, which we are crossing our fingers about right now, just check our website for updates. We're currently constructing a plan, but we put off our panicking until Thursday, so we can make a more accurate recommendation on what to do.
And I would like to say congratulations, too, to you for your upcoming wedding. I think the next time that we see you, you will be we'll have a new name.
Yes.
Well, congratulations and best wishes to you in the next week ahead. I hope you have an amazing wedding, and look forward to seeing you afterward.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Jackson.
For the first time in a long time, I do not have a
Okay.
Ms. Greiner from HRG.
No report this evening.
Mr. Everett, do you have anything additional this evening?
Did it feel funny not to have the screen down tonight?
Yes, it did, actually.
I have nothing else this evening.
Okay, Mr. Christman, do you have anything additional to add?
Nothing really to add. Just to let you know that as part of my responsibilities with the Pennsylvania Municipal League, their annual summit is next week in Pittsburgh. I'll be attending on behalf of that executive board participating. That's going to be Wednesday through Saturday, I think. So I may be Western part of the state for most of the week next week. So.
Okay.
Other than that, nothing to report.
All right, that brings us to our second opportunity for residents to place comments on the record. So if there are any residents that would like to offer public comment, please come to the podium and state your name, your address, and you are welcome. The floor is yours. Okay, seeing that there aren't any residents that would like to place any comments on the record, that leads us to our last item this evening, which is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Made by Supervisor Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Corretto. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Motion passes, and we are adjourned for this evening. Thank you, everybody. Good night.